I want to read one verse from the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 19. You don't need to turn to it, just one verse, verse 14, from the story that Brother Chuck read from the book of Luke that Jesus was talking about, referring to when he was talking about the days of Lot. And here's what that verse in Genesis says. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-laws, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-laws. And let's pray together. Father, thank you again that we can have this place to come and meet, this book to meet about. And I thank you for each person that's here this morning. I pray now as we open the Word of God and hear it preached that, Holy Spirit, you would take charge of our ears, help us to listen, take charge of our hearts, help us to make the application to ourselves. And I pray, if there's somebody here that is not saved, that today they'll see the danger that they're in, the eternity that they face. They'll see the Savior, and today they'd make that decision to receive Him. I pray for Christians that we would not ruin our testimony like Lot did. And I pray that you'd speak to us, Holy Spirit, anything that we're involved in that would cause us to take our eyes off Christ and cause us to lose our testimony. I pray that you convict us about those things. And this morning there'd be some decisions among Christians. Just bless the remainder of the service. Use it as you see fit. Help us to uplift Jesus. For it's in His name we pray. Amen. The story in Genesis chapter 19 is a terrible and tragic story. It's a story of sin. It's a story of death and destruction. It's a story of wasted opportunity and a ruined testimony. It's a story of a man called Lot. The Bible tells us many different places in the Old and the New Testament that Lot was a righteous man. He was a man that today that we would say is saved. He was a man today that we would say knows Jesus as his Savior and has not the righteousness of himself. None of us are righteous. The Bible says all of our righteousnesses is as filthy rags. But he had the righteousness of God bestowed by God on him, like we have the righteousness of God given to us when we accept Christ. He was Abraham's nephew, son of Abraham's brother. And Lot was blessed by God. And we go back and we read his story in the early chapter of Genesis. And you can see that God blessed him with wealth, with many different animals and blessings that came from the crops that he planted. But Lot was a man that made some wrong choices. Lot was a man that made some bad decisions. Lot moved to a place that God didn't want him to move to. He moved into a place called Sodom. It was a wicked place. It was a place that was known for the sin that was conveyed in the name of the city, sodomy. It was a city where, as we're going to read a verse in just a moment, that most, if not all, of the males in that city practiced this wicked sin. And let me just remind you this morning, homosexuality is not a choice. It's a sin. We have many people telling us today, well, it's an alternative lifestyle. It's a choice that I can make. Well, that's true. It's a choice that you can make, but the Bible calls it a sin. In fact, the Bible says that in God's eyes, homosexuality is an abomination. And he saves that word for not every sin, but certain sins that I think, if God can be irked, irk him the most. He calls it an abomination. Now, the world today will try to tell us that it's not a sin, that it is just a choice that somebody can make. But you go back to the 19th chapter of Genesis, and you follow that forward in the Bible, there's no mistake as you listen to God, it's a sin. Yes, it's a choice that people can make, but they need to understand that they're going to pay the price for making that choice. The Bible says, sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. The wages of sin is death. And homosexuality is a sin. It was a sin that was practiced into this place that Lot moved into. When he moved into this place, he not only moved to a place that God didn't want him to move, he associated with people that God didn't want him to associate with. And that's usually what happens when you go to a place that God doesn't want you to go. You end up forming friendships and forming relationships with people that God would just as soon you have nothing to do with. Most Bible scholars think that Lot married a girl from Sodom. We know that he was in a position of leadership in the city because in just a moment, we're going to find him sitting at the gate of the city. And that's where the leaders of the city usually sat, at the gate. So Lot was there sitting in that gate. And the Bible says that two angels came to the city. They were sent by God. I'll tell you in just a minute why God sent them. But because Lot was there and one of the leaders of the city, he rose up and he welcomed those two angels to the city of Sodom. The Bible says he welcomed them respectfully. He bowed to them. He invited them to his house. It was late in the evening, the Bible tells us. And he said, I'd like you to come and have dinner with me and I'll give you a room so that you can rest tonight. At first, the angels refused and said, no, we'll just stay in the streets. But Lot insisted, and so they came to his home. The Bible says he made a dinner for them. In fact, the Bible describes it as a feast. He prepared a feast, and they ate. After dinner, the Bible says that, and before they retired for the night, the Bible says that the men of the city of Sodom surrounded Lot's house. In fact, the Bible says it was the old men and the young men. That's why I said a moment ago that I believe that most of the men, the males that were old enough, took part in this sin. And they surrounded this house. And by the way, this is not part of my message, but I'll say a word to fathers this morning. In all likelihood, your sons are going to follow in your footsteps. In all likelihood, the sin that they see in your life are going to be the sins that come into their life. And so we as dads better be careful. Because there's little children and teenage children and grown children that got their eyes on dad and watching what dad does. And in all likelihood, they're going to follow in that sin. And so the young and the old men of the city of Sodom surrounded Lot's house. And they said, bring out those two men that came into the gate because we want to know them. That's the Bible's way of saying we want to commit this terrible sin of sodomy with them. Lot went out and he tried to reason with the men of the city. He said, these are my guests. They came under the protection of my roof. Don't do this wickedness with them. Here's what Lot said. What a tragic, tragic statement. Here's my two daughters. They haven't known men. Haven't known man. Why don't you use them instead? Well, this enraged the men of that city. They said to Lot, you came in to be our guest. Now you dwell among us and you are our judge. You're not going to judge us. We'll do to you worse than we thought to those two men. At this point, the angels reached out from Lot's house and pulled him back into his house and shut the door. The Bible says he smote the men of the city with blindness that surrounded the house so that they couldn't find the door, couldn't find a way to get in to that house. And they said to Lot, Lot, God has sent us here to judge this city. He sent us here to see if what he'd heard about this city was true, to see if the sin that he'd heard about in this city was true. And Lot, we've discovered that it is. It is true. God's going to bring judgment to this city. He's going to rain down fire and brimstone from heaven, and this city is going to be destroyed because of their sin. Now, your uncle Abraham prayed for you when we met with God yesterday. And your uncle Abraham begged God that you would be spared from this judgment. And we're here to warn you, Lot, that the judgment of God is coming. You need to go out and tell your family. You need to go out and tell your friends. You need to go out and tell anybody that will listen to you that they need to run, that they need to flee, that they need to escape this city because the judgment of God is coming. Lot, the Bible says, went out and talks to his sons-in-law. I can see it in my mind. I can picture it in my mind. It's probably very late at night, close to midnight, if not early in the morning, just past midnight. Lot sneaks through the streets, comes up to a door and knocks on the door. I don't know who answers. I don't know if it's his daughter or sons-in-law. Probably one of his sons-in-law. He probably had two daughters because the Bible uses an S on son. So sons-in-law. Maybe his son-in-law comes to the door. There's his father-in-law. And he's got a an alarm at midnight. Said, God's going to destroy the city. He sent me a warning. You need to take my daughter and you need to take my grandchildren, if there were any, and you need to flee the city. You need to run. We need to get out now. We can't wait till morning. We can't wait even a few more minutes. You've got to come now. You've got to get dressed. We've got to get you out of the house. We've got to get back to the rest of the family, and we've got to flee the city. We've got to run from this city. The fire from heaven is coming. God's judgment is coming. We've got to go. And the Bible says that his sons-in-law treated Job as one that mocked. And they laughed at him and said, what are you trying to pull, Dad? What do you mean fire's coming from city? This night's no different than any other night. I'm sleeping. My family's asleep. I can't be bothered. Can't we talk about this in the morning? And they laughed at Job and ignored his warnings. What'd I say? Job. Lot. Have I been saying Job all along? Lot. Sorry. Lot. I was just seeing if you were listening, Reg. I'm glad you were. But Lot, they ignored his warnings. They laughed at him and said, you're crazy. Nothing like that is going to happen. We're just going to stay in our beds. We're not going to get our family up. We're not going to come. Just go on home, go back to bed, and we'll talk about it in the morning. God did send fire and brimstone from heaven. He destroyed the city of Sodom. He destroyed the city of Gomorrah. And the Bible says, all the inhabitants of the city were destroyed. Except for Lot. His wife. The two daughters. Because the Bible says that in the morning when Lot hesitated to leave, that the angels put their hands on Lot and his wife and their two daughters, and they pulled them out of the city. And as they were fleeing, the Bible says that Lot's wife looked back, and that's why many people think that she was a girl of Sodom, because she couldn't get the city out of her heart and mind, and she turned back, and the Bible says that she became a pillar of salt. Now the verses that Brother Chuck read a moment ago from the book of Luke records a conversation that Jesus had. And Jesus said that as the days of Lot, that when fire rained down from heaven and destroyed the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, so it shall be in the days when the Son of Man is revealed. Jesus said those days were coming back. In fact, if you go back and you check the references in the Bible, every time the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah are mentioned, it's held up as an example to us of what's going to happen in the last days. In the book of Jude, chapter 7, here's what the Bible says, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example to us. An example to us, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. This morning, real quickly, I want to speak on the subject, the midnight alarm. The midnight alarm. I want to encourage you this morning to hear it as I give it to you, as Lot gave it to his family. And I want to encourage you this morning not to do like they did, not to ignore it. I want you to listen to the alarm. You see, I think the days of Lot are upon us. I think the days that Jesus was talking about when he spoke in Luke chapter 17 and said, as the days of Lot, I think those days are upon us. Sin is rampant in our world. The queers have come out of the closet, and they should have just stayed in the closet. But their sin, the sin of homosexuality, is widespread today. And I don't think God, as a nation, is let us going to get by with that. And I think God sends us a warning, is sending us a warning that destruction is coming. Destruction is coming. I want to make 3 points this morning. Number one, the earth faces the judgment of fire. Just like Sodom did, just like Gomorrah did in Lot's day, the Bible speaks about a day that's coming at the end of time when the world will be judged by fire. In Isaiah chapter 34, verse 4, all the host of heaven shall be dissolved in this fire. Matthew chapter 24, verse 35, the heaven and the earth shall pass away when this fire comes. 1 Peter 4:7, the end of all things is at hand. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, but the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. The Bible warns that the earth is going to be judged in the last days by fire. Now, I know from personal experience what fire can do. I know what it is to come home and find nothing left because fire has been there. I don't know the pain of fire. Cliff and Minnie know. And if you haven't heard Katie's story, you need to talk to them about how Katie was burned. I don't know the pain of fire. They can speak to it better than I, and I'm sure Katie can speak to it better than any of us. But fire is coming. Fire destroys. Fire kills. Fire hurts. It's painful. And yet, the earth is facing a judgment of fire. And by the way, so is every single person that rejects Jesus Christ as their Savior. You face a judgment of fire in that place called hell. One of the terrible things about hell that the Bible tells us about, it's a place where the flame is not quenched. It's a place called the lake of fire, the lake of brimstone. You remember when Jesus told the story about the rich man that died and went to hell. He lifted up his eyes looking into heaven, looking unto Abraham. And he said, Abraham, send Lazarus, that poor beggar that died and went to heaven, and have him dip the end of his finger in water and let him come down to where I am tormented in this flame, and take that drop of water and put it on the end of my tongue so that I can find some relief. But there's no relief in hell. There's no let up in the fire that burns in hell. There's no escape in hell. And every single person that rejects Christ and goes out into eternity without Jesus paying for his or her sins faces an eternity in a lake of fire, faces an eternity in a place called hell where the fire will never, ever be extinguished. For the fire will never go out. Number two, we've been sent a warning. We've been sent a warning. In Lot's case, God sent the angels. The message they delivered to Lot was, judgment's coming. Hey, it's coming. God's going to destroy the city with fire. The only way to escape is to run. The only way to avoid it is to leave. The only way to escape the judgment of God that's coming is for you and your family and those that will listen to you to get out of this city. That was the warning. Now, God sent us a warning, and we have a messenger that's better than the angels because he sent his only begotten Son to share the warning with us. Jesus came, and he warned us of sin. He came, and he warned us about the penalty of sin. In fact, the greatest warning that every sinner should heed is the fact that God would send his only begotten Son to die on a cross for the sin that we've committed. What greater warning could God give to men and women, to teenagers, to boys and girls, other than to say, look, sin is so bad and sin is so terrible and sin has to be paid for that I'm going to send my only begotten Son and he's going to take all of your sins upon him, and he himself, who knew no sin, is still going to have to die. Is still going to have to pay for those sins. When Jesus went to the cross, he bore no sin of his own. He bore all of my sin. He bore all of your sin. And God was sending us a warning that sin has to be paid for. The wages of sin is death. And that death is eternal separation from God in that place of fire that never goes out, that never ends. And God says, now look, here's the warning. If you want to escape, if you want to avoid the judgment, if you want to stay out of hell, you've got to flee to Jesus. You've got to come to him. He's the only way of escape. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, but the name of Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. What he was saying is that no man can get out of hell unless he comes by me. You can't escape hell by your own goodness. You can't escape hell by joining a church. You can't escape hell by getting baptized. The only way you can escape hell is by coming to the one who paid our hell for us, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a warning. We have a warning every time we open this book. We have a warning every time we come and sit in a Sunday school class or in a church service. We have a warning every time a mom or a dad or a grandpa or a grandma or a brother or sister that care about us talk to us about the Lord, talk to us about heaven and hell. We have a warning. Don't ignore the warning. Don't brush it off. Don't say like Lot's sons-in-laws, "Ah, Dad, you're all worked up about nothing. Go on home and go to bed. We can talk about it in the morning." Morning never came for them. We have a warning. Number three. As Lot was warned and then went to warn others, so we as Christians must do the same. The angels came to Lot. "Lot, you need to get out of the city. You need to run. God's going to destroy the city. Go tell your family." And Lot ran through the streets. "Get up, get up, get up, get up! Judgment's coming. Fire's coming. We've got to get out." And they laughed at him. They mocked him, the Bible says. You that are saved this morning, you that know Christ as your Savior, we have a responsibility. We've been given the warning and we've reacted to it. We've received Christ as our Savior. Now we need to go to our family. We need to go to our friends. We need to go to those we work with and beside, and those we go to school with and sit beside in school. We need to go to those that come into our life and share this warning just like Lot did. Because they faced the same judgment of fire. Oh, and by the way, let me just, this is not part of my message. I'm just going to throw it in for nothing this morning because I still got about 5 minutes. Don't think you can live like Lot and have an impact on your family. Don't think you can live like Lot in the middle of Sodom, associated with all those people, taking part in the things that they took part in, and then one day be able to go to your son-in-law and say, "Hey, son, God's going to send judgment. We need to leave." It doesn't work that way. I know people that said, "Well, Lot didn't have a choice. When he and Abraham's herdsmen were fighting with each other, Lot had to separate himself from Abraham." Yeah, that's true, but Lot didn't have to choose Sodom. Lot could have said, "I'm going to go live in the wilderness." It would have been a lot better off to live in the wilderness than it would in Sodom. It would have been a lot better off to live in this desert than it would in the middle of a city that was filled with wickedness, and Lot knew it. And in the same way today, you cannot take part in the things of the world and be associated in the sins of the world and expect those that don't know Christ, who you're trying to warn to stay out of hell, to listen to you. It doesn't work that way. That's why the Bible says to us, "Come out from among them and be ye separate." That's why the Bible says we need to keep our testimonies clean. That's why the Bible says we need to live above reproach. That's why it says in the book of Thessalonians, "Abstain from all appearance of evil." So that when we go to share the warning, when we go to share Jesus, when we go to sound the midnight alarm, destruction is coming, the fire of God is coming, the punishment of God is coming, they'll listen and not mock us. Now, if you're here today and you've never received Christ as your Savior, I want to make this as plain and as clear as I know how to make it. You're a sinner. That doesn't set you apart from anybody else, because the Bible says every single one of us are sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. So you're a sinner. And I hope that you'll agree with me on that. I always use an illustration when I'm speaking to little children. Say, "Well, I'm not a sinner. I've never done anything wrong." Let me ask you, have you ever lied? Even a little one? That makes you a sinner, because the Bible says if we've broken the law in one point, we're guilty of breaking it all. So we're sinners. There's a penalty for that sin. The wages of sin is death. Not just physical death, but spiritual death. Being separated from God forever in that place called hell. Again, just trying to be as clear as I know how to be this morning. There is nothing you can do by yourself to pay for that sin. You can't do it with good works. You can't do it by joining the church. You can't do it by getting baptized, which we're going to do in just a second. It has nothing to do with paying for your sins. If that's what you're dependent on, you're in trouble this morning. The Bible says there's only one way to get your sins taken care of, and that's to come let Jesus take care of them. He did that on Calvary when he took all of our sins and paid for them on the cross. And the Bible says if we'll come and we'll ask him to be our Savior, he will. He will. It takes an act of our will, our decision, where we say, I know I'm a sinner. I know there's a penalty for that sin. I know, Jesus, you paid it for me. Right now, I want you to be my Savior. And the Bible says that if we'll ask Jesus to be our Savior, believing in our heart that he died on Calvary for us, that at that moment, it's not a process, it's not something you have to study, it's something you have to do. It happens in a moment when we ask, Jesus saves us. And if there's any single person here this morning that has never asked Jesus to be their Savior, then this morning I bring a midnight alarm to you, just like Lot did. Destruction's coming. God's punishment is coming. You need to escape. And the only way you can escape is by coming to Christ. And then a quick word to every Christian. You've been warned. You've heeded the warning. Now you need to tell somebody else. You need to tell somebody else. The judgment of God's coming. You need to escape. And we need to live our lives in such a way that we have an audience when we speak to them. I'm not saying we need to be perfect. None of us can be perfect. But I'm talking about the choices that we make. They need to be choices for God. So that when we go and we tell, they'll hear. Here's the invitation this morning. It's simple and as plain as I know how to make it. If there's somebody here that's never received Christ as their Savior, I would like to invite you to come. Either I or somebody will have a word of prayer with you, and we'll pray together, asking God to save you. We'll lead you in that prayer. And if you've never been saved, I'd like you to come in just a moment when we stand and sing for you to come. Somebody will take the Bible, they'll show you the verses that I've talked about from the Bible, and they'll help you pray that prayer for God to be your Savior. Now, if you're a Christian and there's something in your life this morning that might block your testimony or ruin your testimony, I think you ought to come. You don't need to talk to me about it. You need to talk to God about it. You need to get it right. You need to get it right. If there's somebody that God's laid on your heart as I was speaking this morning about warning about the judgment of God coming, I think it'd be good to come to the altar and spend a few moments and pray for them and then go out. Go out this afternoon and get a hold of them and tell them the judgment of God's coming. If Lot would have delayed, I mean, his family was destroyed anyway, but he did not have time to delay. Neither do we. Today's the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. That's the invitation. It's clear and simple as I know how to make it. Let's pray together and we'll sing. Father, thank you for this time we've been able to spend together in your word. Thank you that you give us examples like Lot that we can learn from. I pray today if there's somebody here that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, that right now, Holy Spirit, you would help them see they're a sinner. And right now, Holy Spirit, you'd help them turn to Jesus as the only way to pay for their sins. I pray for Christians this morning. I pray you would help us to see that the hour is late, that the destruction and judgment is coming. I pray you would bring to our heart and mind those folks in our life that don't know Christ that we need to share the gospel with. I pray, Father, you'd help us live our lives in such a way that we could give a clear, shining testimony to them. And so I pray, Father, that you would just speak to hearts, those that are not saved, those that are saved, work in our hearts, do in our lives this morning what you know needs to be done. And we'll give Jesus all the glory. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.